Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Y'all ready for the word this morning? All right. Well, we've been in a series called Walking in His Footsteps. It's all right if I walk around. I feel better when I walk around. Walking in His Footsteps. And, you know, I began to think about this, and I've given you several analogies on hunting and also walking in the sand. But how many of y'all know some people, whether it be a dad or somebody close inside of your family, you just know absolutely how they think. You know how they tick, and you know what ticks them off. How many of y'all know those people? I know that about my wife. But also, there's other people that I know, like Pastor Ty. I'm very close to Pastor Ty. I talk to him on the phone all the time. We're very close. We're not just family, but we're close. And over the years of working here at the church, I remember somebody come to me and said, I'm going to tell Pastor Ty this. And there was times where I'd think to myself, I just want to see them cut up by the sword. But there would other be times when he would come to me, they'd ask me, and I'd say, no, I don't think that's a good idea. You ought to go in this direction. But how many of you know, how many of y'all get what I'm talking about? If you spend enough time with somebody, you know the things they like and the things that they don't like. And you know, my idea through all of this, walking in His footsteps, as I begin to talk to the staff about the miracles that Jesus did, every single thing that you go through in your life, whether it's deliverance, whether it's money issues, whether it's parenting, whether it's kids, I promise you there's a story in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John that God, following in the footsteps of Jesus, we can see how He would handle situations and the way He would want us to handle them today. And if you just get a little revelation of how God wants to do things in your life, I promise you, every area of your life. How many of y'all want every area of your life to be blessed? How many of y'all want every area of your life to be biblically based? We live in a Western world today where they want you to do all kinds of different ways, but I don't want to do it the way the government tells me. I don't want to do it the way my grandpappy's pappy told me to do it. I want to do it the way God, the Creator, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has given me an example of how to live. And so looking at this particular thing, we can see this, that Peter saw something in Jesus and he began to follow in His footsteps, and because some of his decisions that he began to make in obedience, it began to affect even his business, even his life, every part of it. And I promise you, if we begin to do these things, it'll do it for us. If we begin to walk in obedience, we can see from this text here that it opened doors. How many of y'all want doors of opportunity open in your life? Favor. That's what the Bible, the Word of God tells us this, that His favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may come through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And so when we follow in His footsteps and under His anointing, I promise you this, favor, doors of opportunity will be opened up to you. One of the biggest questions as a pastor that's asked to me is, Pastor, what is the will of God for my life? And there's some things even in this story that you will see, but what I've learned is this. As I've gotten in His Word, as I've gotten in prayer, as I've gotten in worship, doors of opportunity begin to be opened up that I could have never opened up, that God only Himself could have done for me. Doors were open in this. It brought salvation in this text. And not only did it affect him, but it affected all the people around him. How many of y'all have sons and daughters that you want to come to Jesus? How many of y'all have family members that you want to come to Jesus? Walk in His footsteps. Walk in His footsteps. Come on, say it with me. Walk in His footsteps. We need to walk in His footsteps. So in verse 1, it opens up the text. It says this, now it happened. You know, everything in Scripture, it's doing it right now. It's not saying maybe one day, or I used to do that in one particular life. It's today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's it say in Hebrews chapter 11, 1? King James, New King James, Amplified, New Living Testament, NIV. It all starts off with the same thing. It says, now faith. Why do we need now faith today? Because we don't need faith in heaven, because we'll be standing before the resurrected King. But right now, we need faith. And so it says, now it happened that while Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, with people crowding all around him and listening to the word. All right, I want to set this up before I go any further. In the beginning part of Luke chapter 4, he goes back to his hometown. He begins to read out of Isaiah. People take offense to it and said, you're nothing but a carpenter's boy. They throw him out, actually. They get rid of him. And in fact, at one point, they push him up against a cliff and are going to get rid of him. Jesus walks through them, and he goes to a place called Capernaum. And when he comes to this place of Capernaum, in fact, I'll probably do a message on Capernaum, is the city where Jesus dwelt. There's more things that happen in that city than anywhere else. But I tell you what, if one place rejected him and he went to the other, it should remind us, Jesus is looking for a place where he can minister. Jesus is looking for a place. This is a little fishing community of Capernaum. He shows up there. Mark chapter 2 talks about when he gets there, there's a paralytic man that comes to Simon Peter's house, and there's friends of his that gouge out the roof, the clay roof, and bring the paralytic down. He's healed there. Peter's mother-in-law, he rebukes Peter's mother-in-law, well, doesn't rebuke her, but rebukes the spirit on the inside of her. Healing comes inside of Peter's house. There's many things that happen, but in verse 42, it says, when daybreak, Jesus, chapter 4 and verse 42, when daybreak came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him, and he came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. I wanted to share something. Where is it? Oh, listen, verse 40. That's where I wanted to go. While the sun was setting, I don't have no notes, so you're going to have to bear witness with me. Is that okay? While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and laying his hands on each one of them, what does it say? He was healing them. Now, I'm going to help some of y'all here. It doesn't say that he prayed for them. It doesn't say that he got religious and prayed a 10-page long prayer. So there may be times that you come to a healing line. Mark 16 says, these signs will follow him who believe. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All you have to say, be healed in Jesus' name. This word healing right here, what this means, it means therapeo in the Greek. It means he therapied them. Meaning this, the power of God's going to operation. Now you do things in the natural that you couldn't do before. Step out in faith. Pick up your mat and walk. If you have a withered hand, stretch out your hand. God wants you to do something. That's a different message for a different day. But to pick it up here in verse 1, so everything that's going on, the miracles that are happening, people begin to see the great amazement of this man, of this Son of God, Jesus. And it says, people crowding all around him, listening to the word of God. This word people here in the Greek, it means a mob. It means massive crowds of people. So he's here on the beach, and it says crowding. That means people are moving through. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She's reaching through, grabbing a hold of the hem of the, if I just grab a hold of the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. It was in a crowd of people. And in this crowd, I didn't know I could move like that. Y'all impressed? I didn't even rip my jeans. I may have, I don't know. I just won't turn my back to you guys. But they crowded all around him. You know, this should paint a picture to you. This ends in a miracle. Great catch of fish. People are saved and all other people that were around him. This should paint a picture to you. When we crowd, we get in a crowd with Jesus. When we push towards the things of Jesus, I'm telling you, miracles will follow. Miracles will follow. And it says they were listening to the word. Well, that's easy. Anything that's coming out of Jesus' mouth is the word of God. I'm telling you, I cannot tell you enough. In Bible school, in session 1 all the way through session 12, the loin belt of truth, the written word of God, will save your life. The written word of God will save your life. But in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. What's it say in John 1:14? It says, the word became flesh and he dwelt among us. So everything that was coming at thy word, at his word, the word was coming forth. Can I tell you this? Singles, don't rely on Pastor Michelle to put the word on the inside of you. Thank God for Pastor Michelle, and thank God for the word that's on the inside of her. but you can't rely on that word. You can't rely, prayer group, you can't rely on Miss Judy pouring it into you. Thank God for that. She has wisdom, hears from God, gets logos, rhema words. She spoke them into my life. But I promise you this, if I just rely on those, I will shrivel up and I will die. It's so important that you get in the, you crowd Jesus. Come on, in the mornings, let's crowd the Lord. In the afternoons, let's crowd the Lord. In the evenings, let's crowd the Lord. Let's not just crowd him on Sundays. Let's not just crowd him on Wednesdays. I hope you see something in here. God affected Peter's business. Invite Jesus into your business. He got all up in his business. But notice something here too. You need to see English. There's a semicolon at the end of the sentence. So it means now it happened that while Jesus was standing, this is all one thing, that he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. Can I tell you this? Jesus is looking for a ship that he can get into. Let me put it like this. Jesus is looking for a relationship to get into. Can I tell you this? Jesus is looking for a partnership that he can get into. Hello. Jesus is looking to get into some leadership. He wants to get into your money through your stewardship. He wants to get into your fellowship. Washington, he wants to get into the dictatorship. Hello. Mexico, he wants to get into our citizenship. Sorry, I had to throw that one out there. Listen, I could go all day long on ships, but you know how you get into any ship? You give him your worship. I'll say it again, you give him your worship. In God's presence is fullness of joy. He will show us the path of life. In God's presence is fullness of joy. And so when I see this here, when first reading this, I think to myself, he's looking for a ship to get into. These men that were out washing their nets, and there's boats along the shore there, there is people that was hearing the same words, heard of the same miracles, but yet they didn't have time to crowd the Lord. They were so busy, caught up doing their own thing, washing their nets. But I promise you this, Simon is saying, I'm so glad that I hung on to Jesus. I'm so glad that I stayed in his presence. I'm so glad that I didn't leave and try to do the busyness of life like Martha. Did y'all stay away from Martha this week? Martha, she was crowding up all on me. I ain't even gonna lie. I had to rebuke Martha. But I see people here, they're wanting to wash the nets, but you know what? You will miss out on a miracle when you are not there. When you're not there. You know what? We went through this last year. I'm telling you, I may be completely old school, but I tell you what, I miss out on a lot when I'm not in the house of God. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of saints together, especially when you see the day approaching. Government, people, they tried to tell you. There's no reason, but I'm telling you, you miss out when you are not here. You miss out. You miss out. And there's people, this is a great text right here. The ones that were washing their nets, they missed out on a great miracle of what God, I believe God wanted to give it to all of them. But the one who got it was the one who was there, Simon Peter. Let's keep going. Verse 3, it says, he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little distance from the shore. And he sat down and began teaching the crowds from the boat. Now, right away, when I read this, sometimes I just look at it on a whole practical level, which I invite you to do, of where we are today. But I'm remembering the end of the text of how they have a boat sinking, net breaking catch of fish when they had tried it on their own and on their own terms and on their own times. And so I already know the miracle that has already taken place, but coming back, I see a step that Peter did here that nobody else did. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Simon was there. Simon was available. You can get into my boat. And ask him to put out a little distance from the shore. Then there was an act of obedience that took place. But right away when I read this, I see there's a crowd of people that are listening to the word. But there is one that says, you can get on the inside of my ship. Now pay attention to this, because I see it every week. We have lots of hearers of the word, but not a lot of doers of the word. I'm going to say it again. We have a lot of hearers of the word, but not a lot of doers of the word. I'm going to say it just one more time. I feel like this is falling on deaf ears. There's a crowd of people. Jesus is looking for action in somebody's life. I feel like in this text, he's painting a picture from James chapter 1 and verse 20 or somewhere. Somewhere in there. I know it's James 1. Go read it. But he's saying, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Not to say that these people weren't blessed, but I'm telling you, it's the act of obedience in Peter's life that opened up doors of opportunity of blessing in him. Amen. And there's many people that come every single Sunday morning. I believe you're blessed by the word of God that goes forth. And I believe there's healing that takes place in your body. I'm just telling you, you're missing out from a whole chunk of the pie if you don't be a doer of the word. You be a doer of the word when you walk in his footsteps. You be a doer of the word when you think like Jesus thinks, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. I'm telling you, you begin to do a doer of the word when you spend more time with him, you see how he thinks. But we all have, when I'm looking at this, we all have the same opportunity to hear the word of God. And we all have an equal opportunity to obey it. But how many of y'all believe if you want to experience the miracle, the net breaking, boat sinking catch, you must cast your net when God calls. You must obey when you don't understand. You must act when he speaks. Peter and James, in this text here, obedience spurred their destinies into motion. Their future was taken care of because of their obedience. This was weaved into their purpose on this earth. When did God first call? What was the first thing that Peter had to do? Peter was there. He had to have a ship available for him. God, if you can use anyone, you can use me. We want to look at the net-breaking catch, but also I want you to look at, he had to put it out from the shore. You know, the first thing that I think of when I see this, I think when we make room for the gospel, miracles follow. I'm going to say it again. When we make room for the gospel, I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about in your family at the dinner table. Hello. Inside of your marriage, at baseball games, at volleyball games, at rodeos, when you make room for the gospel, what did he do? He said, get inside of my ship. There'll be more people that can hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you begin to open up that door, there's going to be a net-breaking, boat-sinking catch come into your life. The power of God goes into operation. Some of y'all got that. I'm telling you, when did he first call him, though? He said, put me out from the shore. See, we all look at the part where he goes and catch. He said, I've toiled all night. Now you want me to go? And he puts his nets out and he gets the first. But I'm telling you, if he wouldn't have acted on that first part of obedience, put me out from the shore. Put me out from the shore. What's the first thing God said to you? It may have been small, but I tell you, in Luke 16, he said, those that are faithful in little, I will be faithful to you in much. What are the little things in your life that you still haven't given to God? I'm still talking the way I used to. I'm still doing the things that I used to do. You know, I've given him my Sundays and I'm giving him my Wednesdays. I'm telling you, it's the little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You be faithful in the little things. You know what? I'm telling you, look back and over this church, I've cleaned toilets. I've picked weeds. I've sprayed weeds. I've mowed yards. I've taught kids. I've taught teenagers. I've stayed up for days in, days out. I'm telling you, I did it. I was faithful to the Lord. And I'm telling you, I am a perfect example of someone that got, I was faithful in the little things. I didn't give up in the little things. I was consistent in the little things. And I'm telling you, it's in the little things that God will promote the big things to you. It goes in anything. Those of you that are in employment, you have a testimony of how you started out as the low man on the totem pole. But you be faithful. You make the coffee. You take out the trash. You get there early. You stay late. You be faithful in those things. Promotion is coming your way. See, if he wouldn't have put out from the shore, and that sounds crazy. Nobody's ever wanted to do this before. Well, there's a first for everything. And I'm telling you, honor unlocks honor. Honor unlocks honor. Young people, teenagers, I'm trying to help you with your parents. All right? Honor unlocks honor. When you honor and value somebody, you pull something out of them that not everybody gets. It's little things like this I try to teach my kids. It's not being a suck up. It's just being respectful and being honor. Say yes, sir. Say yes, ma'am. Say no, sir. Say no, ma'am. Remove your hat when you meet a lady. Respect and honor will open up doors of opportunity in your life. And Peter got a hold of this. Peter got a hold of this. See, if he wouldn't have done the first action, he wouldn't have got all the other things unlocked for him in his life. So it goes to verse 4. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into the deep water and lower your nets. See, the first command was put out from the shore and let me teach these people. But since you obeyed that one, since you're faithful in the little things, I'll open up a door of opportunity for something even bigger in your life. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You sow obedience, you'll get another act of obedience to come into your life. Promotion. And so what I love in verse 4, honor unlocks honor here. But he says to put out. You know, when you study this word out in the Greek, I ain't even going to try to say it. Because it's beyond my pay scale. But this word put out in the deep, it's a nautical term. It's a fishing term. You know what that tells me? It tells me a couple of things. First thing that it tells me is this. If you're going to speak into somebody's life and you're going to open up doors, you better know what you're talking about. All right? Like if you're going to have a cowboy be influenced by you, you better walk like one, talk like one, and know what you're doing, because a cowboy can pick up on a gunsel like that. Somebody comes to me and they begin to talk horseshoeing, I can tell you that quick whether they're somebody who's done it once or they've done it their whole life. Train. There's things that Doug could say about being on a train that I wouldn't know because I don't know anything about it. But when he gets around other people of trains, he can tell whether or not he's the real deal or he's not the real deal. I'm just trying to, even Jesus saw this. If I'm going to talk to a fisherman, I'm going to have to talk to him in a fisherman's voice. And the fact that Jesus knows about fishermen, that fires me up to tell Jesus knows exactly what I'm going through in my business. Come on, Jesus knows exactly what I'm going through as a parent. Jesus knows exactly what I'm going through as an American citizen today. Jesus knows exactly what's going on in my family makeup. Jesus knows exactly. You might say, God, you don't know nothing about that. You just stay out of this. No, God is saying this. Invite me into your ship, and I promise you, whatever you're facing in your life, whatever person, whatever thing, whatever financial heaviness it is, I promise you, I've studied it because I want to be a part of your life. No matter what it is. Are you guys getting some out of this morning? He said, put out. Jesus knew. And so when he hears this, I promise you this, he said, wow. Because we already see that he worked all night. didn't catch a thing. He's the professional. But the fact that Jesus, he's already seen. Now, remember, he saw the paralytic healed inside of his home. Remember, he saw his mother-in-law healed inside of his home. Remember, he saw all those people healed. And so Peter here, I believe this, Peter wasn't even saved up until this point. Because in all the texts and even Mark, we see this, that nowhere does he call master until he touches his money, and then he calls him master. You know what that fires me up? There may be people in your life that you have put a timeline inside of your mind that I believe this daughter is coming back to Jesus. I believe this son is coming back to Jesus. I believe this grandma, this grandpa, family member, coworker, neighbor, whoever it is. I'm telling you, just because they haven't made the decision yet doesn't mean that Jesus isn't working on the inside of their heart. I'm trying to give you some. Jesus saw it all, but yet he had not got on his knee and confessed him as Lord yet. I'm here to give you some hope this morning. From this text, I hope you can see this. It doesn't mean that Jesus isn't working on their heart, because he is. Simon replied, Master, we worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion, caught nothing, but at your word, I will do. He calls him Master. He calls him Lord. But he says, at thy word. Come on, I hope you get this morning. At thy word. Woo! You know what we did all year? We did it the word of what other people told us to do in 2020. Did we not? I'll raise my hand. We did it at the word of everybody else. We do it at the word of grandma and grandpa. We do it at the word of somebody that we like, that we feel like they're going to give us the best input. And I'm not saying you can't get wisdom from others. I'm just saying there ain't no high like the Most High. I'm telling you, there ain't no wisdom that comes like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There ain't no direction that you can get from anybody else but the one who directed the creation of the universe. But all year long, we took the direction of government. We took the direction of other people, of power and position. When in all reality, I saw people fade away because they took their word and not thy word. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word says the blood of Jesus covers me from the top of my head to the soles to the very tips of my toes. Thy word says by his stripes I am healed. Thy word says he supplies all my needs. Not a stimulus check. But thy word supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on. Thy word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thy word, I am more than a conqueror. Thy word, not their word, not my grandpappy's pappy's word, but thy word. His word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Thy word. Come on, get that in your heart this morning. I feel like running right now. Thy word. At thy word. At thy word. You say the word. You know, this over the last couple of mornings, I've been talking about having a passion for souls. You want the power of God in operation in your life? It says in Matthew 28, when he's talking about the Great Commission, he says, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on in verse 2 and it says, and lo, I'll be with you until the end of the age. I will be with you. Like, I will be in your ship. You want the power of God in your ship? Preach the gospel. Tell souls about it. Get on the soul train. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even from there, get a passion for the word of God. At thy word. Western civilization tells you this, we ain't got time to read. No, you got time. You ain't got time not to read. Western civilization will tell you this, it's crazy. The Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I'm telling you, you want the power of God? The Bible says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. When the Holy Ghost comes upon, Holy Spirit, King James coming out here, Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You want the power of God in operation? Get a part of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You want the power of God in operation? Get a hold of worship. You want the power of God in operation? Get a passion for prayer. Prayer will open up doors. I'm telling you, it'll open up doors. Prayer, giving. Hey, I want to go ahead and congratulate y'all. I talked about blessed to be a blessing, and we had about $8,000 come in towards our note. Come on, give yourself a hand. So our grip building over here, we owed about $21,000 on it. That was one of our debts, $21,000. We paid $8,000 on it. All we owe is $13,000 to have it fully clear and done. Fully clear and done. You know what I believe? I believe there's 13 people in here that can give $1,000, and I'm going to be one of them. And we need to be clear of that in Jesus' name. At thy word. See, at that word. See, the word, the world here today would tell you, no, don't give to that. Look at all, I mean, they spend it on all kinds of different stuff. No, you ain't doing it for the church. You're doing it for you. At thy word, he said he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. You won't have room enough to receive it all. He says, when you give, he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Come on. At thy word. At thy word. Every area of your life, I'm telling you, at thy word. So I want to invite you, if you want to give towards that, let's knock that out. We'll have a building paid for in full. Come on, who's with me in Jesus' name? Amen. If you want to do it today or this week, but I want to encourage you, let's knock that out. You need to have if you want the power of God in operation, you need to have holiness in your life. Live a life of being holy, whole towards him, a life of humility, a life of authority, a life of the fear of the Lord. This is so good. Master, we worked hard all night. I've done everything that I know to do, but at your word, I will lower the nets, not just one, but nets. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were at the point of breaking. Listen, verse 7. Let's go to verse 7. So here they are, they're being a doer of the word. At thy word, and let me just tell you this, they experienced overflow. Mom, when you get in the word of God, you begin to be obedient, and you step out in faith what God has called you to do at thy word, you will experience to a point that you will experience overflow. Do you want your kids to be touched by what God has touched you with? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners. See, this is overflow. It's not only touching his life, but it's touching his partner's life. That tells me this ain't no fly-by-the-night fishing deal. This was somebody that knew how to fish. He had an organization. He had a business that not only fed the city, but fed the country. And he was blessed, not by because of what he knew, but what was on the inside of him. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. At thy word. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats with fish, so they began to sink. Now, how big was these boats? Now, there was a monopoly. I've looked this up. There's a monopoly of boats. So they all were the same size. This boat was 32 foot long by 10 foot wide. Scholars say there was 5 to 6 tons of fish that were caught. That is overflow. Meaning this, it not only affected him, but affected the whole region. You did not get that. Let me rewind. It didn't just affect him and his ship. It didn't just affect his relationship. It didn't just affect his partnership. It didn't just affect all, it affected the ships around him. Come on. It'll affect your neighborhood. It'll affect your school, Coach Harden. It'll affect the people that you're around. They may be lost as a ball in high weeds, but as they begin to see the power of God operating on the inside of you, overflow begins to spill out of you into somebody else. How many of y'all want the Spirit of God to hit an uncle? How many of y'all want the Spirit of God to hit a neighbor? How many of y'all want the Spirit of God? They may be lost now, but I'm telling you, you begin to be obedient, begin to be a doer of the word, at thy word. At thy word. You guys getting anything out of this morning? Only got, give me 45 more minutes. He said, but when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord, for he and all his companions were completely astounded at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, have no fear, from now on you will be catching men. This last week I talked about the ABCs, and you need to know this. If you're going to have a passion for souls, and if you spend enough time with the Lord, you will have a passion for people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there's something that happens in this text. He admits that he's a sinner. The ABCs is this: admit, believe, confess. You don't have to rely on the preacher to lead somebody to the Lord. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to rely on the preacher to lead somebody to the Lord. One more time. You don't have to rely on me. You don't have to rely on my wife. You don't have to rely on Pastor Robert. You don't have to rely on Pastor Michelle. Now, all means, please bring them to me because I love to do it. It's like the best drug I've ever had, other than being drugged to church as a kid. All right? I'm telling you, you get a little dose of that and you'll want some more of it. Ain't that right, Justin? You get a dose of that and you can't wait to lead somebody to the Lord. But this is what you do. You admit that you're a sinner. What did he do? I am a sinful man. He believed. He believed in Jesus. What did he do? He called him Lord. He confessed with his mouth. When he got on his knees and he confessed out of his mouth, Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. He came to the realization of Jesus Christ. So from this act of obedience, salvation came to Peter's home. He who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of y'all need saved from a situation? All right. Very good. Me too. How many of y'all know his finances were touched? Because it blew open the gates. Not only it touched his finances, but the other people that were around him. It also affected him socially because he was the master of the ship. And because him being the master of the ship, they saw there is something on you to catch this much fish. We also see something too, that he dropped everything that he had to follow Jesus. His destiny and his future were lined up. And I'm here to tell you the same thing for your life. You want your finances to line up to the word of God, that he will supply all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, there's something that we can take away from this story. You want your finances lined up? You want salvation in your home? There's something we can take away from this story. If you want socially, maybe there's things, your social life is completely messed up. There's something we can take away from this story. Even in your future, your calling, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. It goes back to verse 1. Now it happened on that day when Jesus, the people, pressed around him. He was teaching the word of God. Let's press around Jesus. Let's get into the word of God. I'm going to say it again. Let's press into Jesus and let's get in the word of God. Let's press into Jesus and let's get into the word of God. Let's let him inside of our ship, meaning let's let him in at the dinner table. Let's let him in at the breakfast table. Let's let him in on the TVs that shows that we watch on our television inside of the living room. Let's let him in even when our neighbors are around. Let's let him in every area of our life. And I'm telling you, windows of opportunity and blessing will begin to come your way. You want the will of God? Invite him in. Not just from time to time. I was reading this last week, Acts chapter 2. I was studying the early church, and it says, not Romans. Doesn't say it in Romans. It says in Acts 2:42, it says they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to eating meals together and to prayers. You're like, Pastor, I can get behind the eating part. Can I get an amen? You want people to come? Fix a casserole. Have Miss Cindy bring dessert. They'll come in droves, like a moth to a flame. But this part right here, they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves. You know, in the Greek, the English back to the from the Greek, it means this. They were addicted to the teachings of the apostles. You know what? We're addicted to food. We're addicted to Cokes. I'm telling you, you want growth in your life and you want a boat sinking, net breaking catch of salvation, of miracles in your life, get addicted to the Word of God. I'm going to say it again, at thy word, not their word, at thy word. In his footsteps, I'm going to be talking about, he wants to touch you. He wants to heal your body. He wants to deliver your sons and daughters. But I hope from this text you see this. He wants to come into your ship and he wants to bless every area of your life. If we walk in his footsteps. In Acts 2 and verse 47, it says, praising God continually and having favor with all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. You want growth in this house? You want growth in your home? Get addicted to the Word of God. Get addicted to the Word of God. John, if you want to go ahead and come and play, please, at this time. But one act of obedience unlocked finances. One act of obedience unlocked salvation in his home. One act of obedience touched his social life. One act of obedience gave him a future and a calling. You know what that reminds me of? In Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Take a step to press into Jesus. I'm going to say it again. You miss me. Take a step to press into Jesus. They were pressing in. What does he have to say? What's his next step? What's he going to do? Let's press in. I'm telling you, you'll never grow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The crowd pressed in. The next one, they listened to the word of God. But Peter, he took it a step forward. He said, I invite you into my ship, and I'm going to be a doer of the word. You know, can I tell you this? There is people that I know that take the first step, and they do press into the Lord. And at one time, they're excited about Jesus. They maybe come to a camp meeting or a particular thing, and they see something. And then they begin to listen to the word of God. But I see so many people that stop right here. They still talk the same. They still confess the same garbage over their life. I'm telling you, you want a boat sinking, net breaking catch in your life. You can't stop here. Can I tell you, so many of you miss out because you stop right here. You come on Sundays, you listen. Wednesdays, you listen. Monday mornings through Friday mornings in prayer, you listen. But if you want the miracle working power of God in operation in your life, the next step is to be a doer of the word. Not everybody's going to say, hey, I invite you into my ship, meaning this, you can take residence in every box that is on this ship. It's yours. My social box, my family box, my watching box, my listening box, my speaking box. Doer of the word. Doer of the word. When he did the word, it opened up another door for him. It opened up a door of favor that nobody else got the opportunity for, but he did. salvation came to his home. Maybe you're saved, but maybe salvation needs to come to your home. It needs to come to your home. His future came. I'm telling you, his finances were touched. Be a doer of the word, at thy word. Let's stand to our feet. Say this after me, at thy word. Come on, let's say it again, at thy word. One more time, at thy word. At thy word. Did God speak to you this morning? There's things I believe all across this room by the power of God before I even preached this message. The Lord spoke to me and God showed me some of you in this room. You're a listener. You listen. You listen to podcasts. You watch YouTubes. You listen to Christian music. You're part of those testimonies on 91.9. I was going to kill myself and I turned on the radio. You have all of that going for you. I'm just telling you, and I think that's great. And I'm not throwing that out. I'm just saying God has a net breaking, boat sinking catch for you. How many of y'all want a net breaking, boat sinking catch? Three of y'all are excited about it. Come on, how many of y'all want a net-breaking, boat-sinking catch? I do. I do. I want it. God, if you can use anybody, use me. Oh, break it open, God. Pour out the windows of heaven so big on my life. But you got to be a doer of the word. How many of y'all this week, you're going to walk in his footsteps? You're going to walk in his footsteps. Go back to this, Luke chapter 5. Walk in his footsteps, and I'm telling you, he'll give you direction. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you understanding. Maybe you're here in this room, and you say, Pastor, you know what? I believe you're speaking to me today. Maybe you're just like Peter. Maybe you've seen miracles that have happened. Maybe you've seen things that have happened in people's life. Maybe you've seen the evidence of others. But you can honestly say you were just like Peter. You were going through the motions and you hadn't taken the next step of faith, which was to admit that you're a sinner. You hadn't taken the step of faith to say, believe in your heart that he died on the cross. He was buried and on the third day rose again. You haven't taken the step like Peter did to confess your sins to Jesus. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. I want to go through the AB. The Bible tells us that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us this, that sin separates us from the Lord. But the Bible also tells us this, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He also tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth, you know what I want to do? I want to give you the opportunity to come to the land of the living. I want to give you the opportunity to have, just like Simon did, to have a net-breaking, boat-sinking catch in your life. You may have great friends, you may have great people in your life, but I'm telling you, you'll never have a better relationship than you will when you accept Jesus to come live on the inside of your heart. He'll make you new. He'll set you free. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know how hurtful I've been. No, and I don't care, and neither does the Lord. He said he'll forgive you of your sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. From this day forward, you'll be righteous, brand new, white as snow. That's only Jesus can do that because of what he did, because of the blood that was poured out, because of the sacrifice that he was. He paid the penalty of debt for you and for me. Pastor, you say that every week, and I'll say it again next week. Come on. How many of y'all thankful for Jesus this morning? So with every head bowed and with every eye closed, if you're in here and you say, Pastor, you know what? That's me. I'm away from Jesus. I'm away from the Lord. Or maybe you've never asked Jesus to come live on the inside of you. I want to pray a prayer with you that you admit you're a sinner. You believe in your heart that he died, he was buried, and on the third day rose again. And the third thing, confess with your mouth He is Lord. Call him your master today. If that's you today, pray this after me. Say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried, but on the third day, you rose again. I confess you as my Lord. Come live inside my heart. From this day forward, I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, renovlifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.